Record.
Are we going to have to get dressed if we're going to have on video?
Huh?
Are we going to have to get dressed up if we're on video here?
No, no, no. There's no dress code.
Just your shirt. You don't have to wear anything below that.
All right. That's it. Okay. So let's see here.
I hope that's the recording. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I see the recording. Okay, it works.
Recording, right? Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
So then I'll have to figure out how to send it afterwards to make sure that it works. Should work, right? I'm just wondering if I should also record it on
my... It records locally.
Does that mean on my computer?
It's recording on your computer.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
in the Zoom folder.
And then when? Then I'll send it to Ben?
Yeah. There should be...
Yeah. I'll figure it out afterwards. Okay. So let me just see here. So we're going to do today, so Sigi here about there's a few sigas we were doing about chatzitza, but there are a few things that we didn't end up getting to, and I want to get to. I have this book. Oh, it's back. It looks backwards to you, right?
No, it's good. Looks, I see it.
Yeah. Okay. You see the laws of Nida, Rabbi Tzitzalovsky?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a good book. It's like, it's on Nida, like Hilchos Nida kind of stuff, but it also goes through in each area, like, more of like a conceptual. It's not like a purely halachic one. It goes through like the inyanim, like the ideas behind it. So I'll show you. So I went through it after I did Chatzitza. I kind of went through this book on, you know, all of the different issues which it brings up. A few interesting issues, which I thought might be nice to take up. So let's see here. So the first issue here is regarding a ring. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find it. Okay. Okay. So let me read. Let me read a little bit. Okay. Or should I send you? I don't know how many pages this is. Let me see.
Do we need a Gemara or anything? Or
no, I don't know. There's gonna be a source or two, but I'll send you if there's a source. Okay. Okay. Let me read a little bit. Okay. I'm gonna read a few pages. Okay. So it says like this. It appears to have defining makbid. So there's a din is when you deal with a chatzitza, when you go in the mikvah, so you can't have a chatzitza, right? Which is, would it help you if I shut the shades behind me? Does that matter to anybody?
It's very bright.
Yeah, okay, let me shut those shades. Hold on. Better?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, so basically, so there's an issue of a chatzitza. So when you go in the mikvah, you can't have anything blocking between your body and the water. Okay, now it depends. Now chatzitza is only an issue if you're machbed about the chatzitza, something which you don't want on your body, some sort of hakbada that you don't want it there. Okay, so what does machbed mean? How do you define machbed? So he says like this: it appears to have been a matter of dispute amongst the Rishonim as to whether the definition of machbed follows what the majority of the population consider objectionable, or each individual standard. The Rashba is clearly of the opinion that the standard of chatzitza is a standardized one. It goes what most people care about, what most people are makbid about. It doesn't go by you, it goes by most people. Where the Rambam, who mentions a personal standard, may have also agreed with the notion of a standardized makbid. Okay? So the later poskim, such as the Taz and the Shach, assume we are concerned about both standards. Thus, both the chatzitza, which people are generally concerned about, as well as the chatzitza, which an individual woman objects to, would constitute a chatzitza. Okay, so basically, if it's a type of thing which is on your body, which most people would not want to be on there for the long term, most people don't want it there, so then even if you do want it there, like let's say paint, most people don't want paint on their hands, they want paint to get off on their body. So that would be a chatzitza. Now, the only thing is, but let's say you're a painter, and for you, you don't really care. You get paint on you all the time, and it's perfectly fine for you. So what's saying is, that's what it's saying is, you have to worry about something, which if most people are machmir about it, then that's a chatzitza. And similarly, we're machmir, that if most people aren't machmir, but you personally have a thing, let's say you have something on your body that most people don't care about, but you personally are very annoyed by it and you don't want it on there, so that's also chatzitza. So that's what I say. We dealt with this, I think, last time, is whether you measure chatzitza, machbed, objectively or subjectively. Okay, that's not what we're going to take up today. Okay, now we're going to deal with a ring. Okay? So it says like this. The Mishnah states that a ring is a chatzitza. Okay, a ring. A woman's wearing a ring. You can't wear the ring during a mikvah. And the Ravid examines this ruling. Seemingly, the ring is usually on the finger because the wearer desires it to be there, and therefore should not be problematic as makdash. Right? When there's a woman, let's say, wears a ring, her engagement ring or a wedding ring, something like that, she wears it all the time, and she wants it to be there. Is that makdash? The Ravid explains that if one is careful to remove the ring at certain points, for example, kneading or showering, he is considered to be makbid on the ring, and thus its presence could invalidate the tefillah. Okay, this opinion of the Ravid is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, while the Ran may disagree, is considered normative.
Okay. So wait, Ran holds that it
sounds like the Ran may disagree. The Ravid's saying is that if you're makbid on it, even if normally you keep it on, and therefore, you might try to argue that since you don't care about it, it's like bottle to your body, it's part of your body, it's not a chatzitza. But if sometimes you're careful to remove it, like when a woman needs dough, she's going to take off a ring so it doesn't get caught in the ring. Or if she showers, she might take it off. So if there are some times where you're makbid, that's considered makbid.
Okay, but if those times don't exist, then it wouldn't be.
Right, but they're saying that the Ran may disagree. Okay? So let me see if I can get this in the back here. So see what's good about this book is it has in the back, it has the sources in Hebrew. So let's see here. I'll send you a picture of the, they have the Rosh, hold on. The Rosh 23, 24, cited by Badei HaShulchan and Biurim. That's 1 second, Yerodea. 1 second. Cited by Badei HaShulchan. Okay, I don't see that Ran being quoted here. But here, I'll send you a picture of the Ravid. Okay. Let me see. Maybe I could send it on the WhatsApp. You want to see a picture of it or no?
How long is it?
It's not very long. It's 5-6 lines.
Not necessary.
No, okay. So it says like this. I'll read you what it says about the Ravid. Okay. So it says, V'i kasha lecha chutei tsemer v'chutei pishtem v'ritsua sheberoshe havanos. So what about if a woman has a, like strings, ribbons in her hair, something like that, strings in her hair, ponytail holders, things like that. Amai chodzim, why is that a chatzitza? It's a miyad, it's small, and the woman's not makbid about it. She doesn't care if it's there. So the Gemara says, lo, it's not true. The Rav Ravid says, no. Makbid, let's see, she is makbid. The lo tema kol she'inu makbid al-bishas tefillah. You don't say whether you're makbid at the time of tefillah. It doesn't go by that. Ella im takbid aleha shah achas, but rather if you're makbid about it at any time, even one moment, Davar ha-makbid alahu, that's considered makbid. She'i evshar shalotav yer'osam el-rosha v'shah shechofefes es-rosha. It's impossible that she's not going to remove it from her head when she combs her hair. V'chein ha-taba'as shebiyada, alto her ring. She'i evshar shalotav yirena v'shah shalisha o v'shah shiofe o v'shalas. It's impossible that she's not going to remove it when she kneads the dough, right, or when she cooks. And therefore, it's saying is that that's considered a makdash. That's considered a makdash. Okay, he's saying it's as long as, this is the Ravid's line, takbid alav shah achas, davar makbid alav. Right? So as long as
you're which way is this going?
This is saying is that as long as you're makbid at any time, that's considered makdash.
But is this going according to, for you specifically, or for people in general?
Oh, this is irrelevant. That's a different question. I don't think it matters. That's like a different issue. I think it's a different issue.
What was irrelevant?
Whether it's subjective or objective. That's a different question.
Oh, really? I thought that was actually the question.
No. That was the previous question. This is a question of, is it considered a chatzitza if generally a person or you don't care about it, you have it on, but at rare instances, you don't want it on you. Is that considered a chatzitza? Right. So the Ravid is saying, The Ravid is saying that as long as you do Merakbil on it at any time, so then it's not a Chatzitza. Then it is a Chatzitza. Whereas they're saying the Ran maybe argues, cited by Badei HaChosh Shulchan in Biurim, I don't know exactly where that is, but it's saying is the Ran maybe argues and says that no, as long as you're not mocked about it now, I guess that's what he's saying. Again, I don't have the quote from the Ran, so I don't know exactly what he's saying. But it sounds like he's saying is the Ran might be holding that that's not a problem. Just look, now you don't care. Now there is a time when you care, okay, well, that's not this time, so it doesn't matter. Right.
But then couldn't anything be not a chatzitza?
Well, it could be there's something that you don't want on you, but it's something you may not go through the tircha of taking it off or whatever, but, you know, I don't know. It's not clear what the run's. I know, I hear what you're saying. It could just be like you don't really want it on you. Now, look, it's annoying to get it off, but you don't really want it on you. You're magbid like paint. It's just like annoying to scrub it. You're not going to scrub it, but you don't want it there. You know, as opposed to like her hair, her ponytail holder or something like that, she may want it on her there. Or when she's going in the mikvah. She's happy to have it there. She wants it there. She wants it to hold her hair back. Or her ring. She wants to be a married woman and having her ring on. Right?
I don't understand. So the Ron is arguing with the Ravid?
It's certainly I think so. The way he brings it down in this book, he says, this is the opinion of the Ravid is codified in the Shulchan Aruch. And while the Ran may disagree, is considered normative. Okay? He says the Ran may disagree, and they quote a footnote cited by Badei HaShulchan in Biurim. So, oh, I may have that. Should I see if I can grab it? Would you want to see how they quote the Ran? Maybe I could find it. Hold on a second. Now, let me run downstairs and just get my, you can think about it in the meantime. Let me just grab my thing here. I think I should. I may have that.
It seems like the Ron is holding that it has to be a regular chatzitza to be a chatzitza.
It has to be a hakpada. You have to be makbid about it, like now, not just at one time. And maybe it just means generally, you have to be something you're makbid about.
Right. And the Ravid seems just one time.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I'll be right back, okay? I'll be a minute.
Again?
Hey. Hi. Let's see here. Badei HaShulchan. What I said? Yeah, Badei HaShulchan. I don't even know if I have Badei HaShulchan here. I thought this book had it. Say hello. No. No, wrong book. Second. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. Yeah, but why don't we take it, look, it's, I guess this, what are the possibilities that they're on? It could be, it goes by normally how you relate to it, right? If you normally are makbid, that's called makbid. The fact that, I think the plain shot. Not just that one at that second. But look, in generally, there's certain things you're makbid, other things you're not. So a woman's engagement ring, you don't say she's not good about them. She considers that like part of her body, and she always has it. Now, some crazy time when she's doing her kneading dough, okay, fine. That's just like an accidental thing, right? But it doesn't mean that she's not good about it. But, I mean, the Ravid is saying is, look, if at any point you're makbid, that's called makbid. But the Havimina on the Ravid, though, is the way he said it, it was like, it doesn't go by at this moment. So, I mean, it's not clear. We don't know what the Ron's saying, but the way the Ravid says the Havimina is that it doesn't go by what she wants at this moment, right? Rather, it goes by if at any point she's makbid, and that's considered makbid. Right, so I guess his havamina would have been that it goes by at that very moment. Shas tefillah. That's what he said. Let me read that again. He says, he says, give me a second. He says, the lo tema kol she'eno makbid alav b'shas tefillah. You don't say that eno makbid is measured at the time of tefillah. Rather, it goes by at any moment. Right?
Just in general, what makes something a chasisa?
So two requirements. One is the size. The oraisa, in order for it to be a chasisa, it has to be cover majority of her body, and it has to be something she's makbid about. But midrabanan, makbid means that she doesn't want it to be there. But derabanan, they said either or. Either if it takes up a majority of her body, or even if it's a minority of her body, but she's makbid about it, that's also a chasisa. Okay?
Maybe the rod is like you're washing it off. Like you would be washing it off.
You what? You wouldn't be washing it off?
You would be washing it off. Like whether you actually care or not, like it's the type of thing, like you're washing it off.
I don't understand what you mean. Like let's say pain.
Is that the Ron? Which one's the Ron?
The Ron holds, we don't know, but the Ron might be holding is that if at any, that it goes by, let's say, normally are you mocked, or now are you mocked? There's two possibilities, it's not clear. But the Rivet is saying is if at any point ever you're mocked, then it's called mocked.
Seems like the Rivet is the qualitative definition of it.
Okay.
Once you use it as that, that's it. It's defined as that quality. Makbid is a quality. Now, it doesn't mean you have to use it all the time, but once you get that quality, that's it.
Okay, but why don't you define it by the most of the time? Why are you defining it by one time? Why don't you say, look, if most of the time you don't care, it's not makbid?
Are we translating makbid over here? Just because you're concerned about it? Like, what?
You're bothered by it.
But what would that mean, you're bothered by it? I mean, it bothers you if it's on your hand, if you're going to lose it, like, what does it really
matter? No. Makbid for it to be on your body. You don't want it to stay on your body. Like paint, your makbid means you want to remove it. You don't want it to be there. It means you don't want it there. So it's saying so your ring, you don't want it there. There are times where you don't want it there. So makbid means you don't want it there. Okay?
But I just know by like if you're a soul firm, if you have ink on your hands, you could still go to the mikvah and sign a chatzitza, you know.
Oh.
It's a part of you.
I guess that's the objective subjective question. Maybe
you go. The point I'm just trying to bring up, because you don't care that it's on your hand or whatever, then it becomes a part of you, you know, and therefore it's like your guff.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
I don't know if it's the same thing over here, meaning if you don't care.
Right.
It becomes a part of her guff. But if you do care, even for a minute, then you're now isolating a part of your, I guess, body to a specific object, and that object in itself becomes a chasisa.
Right.
So it's...
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What you're saying is if the idea of makbid, anal makbid, is that it becomes a part of your guff, because you don't care about it, so it becomes a part of your guff, then even if at one moment you don't want it there, then it's not part of your guff. If you don't sometimes take your body off, take your hand off or your leg off or parts of your body off, so as long as at one moment you don't want it there, then you can't define it as being part of your guff. Right?
That's exactly.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I mean, that's the right of its point. It doesn't matter what right now, what you're trying to say that it's part of your guff. So as long as at any point you don't want it there, then it's not your guff. Right? It's not so simple to make something else part of your guff. The way you do it is by a being that you always just simply blends in. But if it blends in, then why are you taking it off when you need, when you shower, when you whatever? Oh, so apparently it's not part of your guff. It's just something separate from your guff that you usually want there. Okay, so you usually want it there, but that doesn't mean it's part of your guff. Right? Okay. So what's the other svara? What's the svara to argue on that? That sounds pretty compelling, right?
Like the havamina?
Yeah, the Havmina or the Ran, maybe.
I guess you could say, I mean, it really just depends on what you want at that moment. Like, it doesn't, I mean, if you don't care,
right,
even for that moment, then it just becomes a part of you. You just,
mm-hmm.
Then it could somehow merge with your guff. I don't know. I don't like it so much, but it sort of sounds like.
Okay.
Maybe it's like a quality in the washing. So it's like, are you washing just your body, or are you washing your body with something?
Right.
So you look at if the person is mafia or not.
Right. No, that's good. It's like the maisa tefila. Is there a maisa tefila? Are you washing your body, or are you washing your body with something else on it? Right. Like if you have dirt on your hand, you're not really washing your body, because you're washing, the washing is like a covered body. Right. But if at the moment you're washing, you don't care about it, then the action of the washing, you don't say I'm washing my body with something else. I'm not. In the moment of the washing, I define it by the way I relate to the washing. So if I have my rings on, a woman has her rings on, and she's washing her hands with her rings on. You say, that's washing her hands. She's washing her hands. You don't say she's washing her hands with interruption. That's the way she views her hands. Now, and relative to the action, you say it is like part of your hands, because it's at this moment you relate to it as part of your hands. And therefore you're saying is that insofar as the action is concerned, you say it's an action of washing your hands. But at Kamash Malan, it doesn't go by relative to the Maisa of Tefillah itself. But you have to say for it to be not a Chatzitza, it really has to be part of the Guf. Chatzitza is defined in a global sense. What are you? What is the chafza that you're washing? Are you washing your body, or are you washing the chatzitza, or are you washing? So in other words, you have to define chatzitza not just relative to the action, even though the point of it is for this very action which is taking place. But chatzitza is the way chatzitza works, is it's a problem unless you could tell me that it's part of the guf, that the chafza has to really be bottled to the guf. That's good. Does it have to be bottled to the guf? Or is it not, that's not important. What's important is that the action is defined as like an action of washing the guf, not washing something else. And then if it's a matter of how you're defining the action, then you could relegate the definition of makbid to the moment at the time of the action. But if you're saying is that a chatzitza is a posel, unless the chatzitza is a part of your guf, it's a posel and chatzitza, unless that's not a chatzitza. Like not a chatzitza because it's your guf. Well, if you're saying it's your guf, well, then it has to really be universally defined as your guf. It can't just be relative to this maisa. Right? How's that sound?
Sounds good. Whether it's part of the guf or not, or whether it's related to the act of washing.
Right. Right.
Depends how you look at the tefillah.
Right. Right. Ken, what do you say there? Ariel?
I was just going to say, can you explain that one more time? If it's the act of washing, how would that make a difference in terms of chatzitza?
The question is, you have to look at the action and say, what am I washing? Am I washing my body, or am I washing body with the chatzitza? How do you view the action? Am I doing a washing with an extraneous covering, or am I doing a washing of my body? So it goes by how you view this thing at the moment you're doing the washing. What's the character of the washing? Is it washing with interruption, or is it washing without an interruption? So since at this moment she doesn't consider a ring an interruption, or a ring is part of her at this moment. So then you say the action is defined as a pure washing, not an interrupted washing. As opposed to the other way, it's saying you're forgetting the maisa, you're just saying is, chatzitza is objectively a psal. Unless you could tell me the chatzitza is your guf. Halacha, it's defined as your guf. And if at one moment you don't view it that way, well then it's not your guf. Then chatzitza is a psal.
I got it.
Okay. Okay, Ken, any comment?
What about, like,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what about, like, toenail paint or something? Like, you paint your toenails.
Yeah.
She paints her toenails.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, wouldn't that be push it?
And they say, well, at some points you wash it off. Like, when it starts chipping a little bit, and then you want to wash it off. I think that's the way they say. Like, you don't, it's
yeah, not... so for the run, that's...
Oh, you mean what would the run say? You mean if at that moment you want, you can, you're happy with it? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. It's not, again, it's not, it's hard to be like that much in the run because we don't see him. You know exactly what he says, but you could argue, yeah, look, at that moment, it's beautiful. She likes it. She wants it on. That's fine.
Right, I guess there's like just a limitation of clarity we can get because we don't even know exactly what his position is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I mean, the Havamina of the Ravid was at the Shas Tefillah. That's what he said. So I guess you'd say it goes by the Shas Tefillah. And Hanami, then the nail polish wouldn't be. And the, until it starts chipping. It could be once the nail polish starts chipping, then it could be, it would be.
Right, then it's dirt.
Right, then it's dirt. Right. But until that point, maybe in Hanami. That would be an Ashkamina. Yeah. Okay, good, right? Okay, good, Ellie. Good idea. Okay, so let's see what's next here. Yeah, this gets interesting. So now, okay, so you have this thing about this Zichron Moshe and Zichron Yosef and Rav Moshe. This gets to the issue, which is very practical. The Gersh, you'll know about this, is the dental fillings, temporary fillings. Okay, that's a big shaila. Okay, so I'll read you what it says here. The Pisklei Tshuva cites, in the name of the Zichron Yosef, okay, an important explanation of the Ravid's intention. Only things which will be removed in the near future, says the Zichron Yosef, fit the Ravid's criteria of Makdash. Okay, in other words, when you say that, if it's once it, again, the Ravid's saying is that if you ever are going to remove it, it's considered Makdash. So he's saying is it only is if it's going to be in the near future. Okay? Rav Moshe Feinstein understood this as follows. Something which one could become makbid at any moment in time is problematic. An object which one will not be makbid about will not be problematic according to the writer. Okay? So it has to be, Rav Moshe is saying as it means, it has to be something which you might be makbid about at any moment. To put this in a concrete example, one may be makbid about a ring at any time. A woman may very well decide to bake bread tomorrow and consequently be makbid on the ring. Right? Who knows when she's going to bake bread, when she's going to shower. By contrast, a dental filling, which is actually the subject of Rav Moshe's discussion, even if one were to know that it would be removed at a later date, is not considered to be subject to being makbid because the woman wants it there until a specific time that has not yet arrived. It should be noted that Rav Feinstein's understanding of Zichron Yosef is not universally agreed upon. Okay? So he's basically arguing a dental filling, a temporary dental filling. So let's say it's there for a month. So for a month, she's definitely not going to be makbid about it any time within the next month. So that's not makbid. He's saying is now, in a month she will be. It doesn't matter when Ravid said that it means if at any time she's makbid, then it's makbid. He doesn't mean any time in history of our life. It just means in the immediate future or in the unknowable future, right? That it may happen at any given moment. But if you know that it's going to be there for X amount of time, that's okay.
That means that nail polish might be okay.
I guess. I'm not sure. Nail polish maybe could chip.
Yeah, but you're saying it's going to be there for a set amount of time. Usually it's there. I mean, I assume it's there for a while.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on nail polish, but I think it could, in theory, chip very soon. I don't know. I'm not sure about his time frame, if he gives a time frame. Let me see here.
And your nails are growing also.
Yeah, they grow. It's true. Every day they're going to grow a little bit, and then it's not going to quite look as...
Right. Would dental filling be similar to, like, Invisalign? Or braces?
I mean, braces are braces. Braces, I guess. That's a good shayla.
I'm really more asking about Invisalign because you could take it off, but...
I think then you basically do take it off. You eat.
Have those fillings on for the Invisalign.
But, I mean, you take it off because... All right, meaning you take it off because you eat.
Yeah, that's like the
eating, you know, like, I think. Right, I guess you have to take it off. All right, yeah.
Right. Yeah, he says like this. Here's the way. This is the way. I'll read you the part in Ramosha's Tshuva, just the small part where he mentions the point. He says, "The Yisachalik the Mechalik Bal Zichron Yosef Imakbed this Rakles Man Meruba. If he's only Makbed for a long time, Lo Havi Atik Peda. That's not called Makbed. Upashut." The Ramosha says, "Shein Kav Anosel Chalik Bein Zman Meruba. Can go on the Meshach Shana. Doesn't matter if it's like a year or Bein Zman Mua, the Meshach Chodesh or Pachos, or like a month." We don't find anywhere in the Gemara a shir of 30 days or something like that. So how could the Zichron Yosef, Rav Moshe argues, come out say it depends if it's a long time or a short time? He says you don't see a shir like that. Rather, it's kavan lechalik bein hakapeda lahasir b'shas lisha. Same as zman kavua, right? The lisha by kneading, it's no fixed time. The efshar she is damel mechal yom gam b'layla, she may have decided to need at any given point. So it's considered at any time that she's makbed. That's be for any amount of time, because at any given moment you might want to need. As opposed to when it's for a fixed amount of time. Until that time, she's definitely not going to remove it. Then that's considered any makbed until that time occurs. It doesn't matter if it's long or short. Since it's a known time, she's not considered makbed right now. This is a good reason. This is what I think he means. Even if he doesn't mean that, it's a good svara anyways. Zmanis, I think that's filling. Sheesh ka zman yedua lahasiro einach shivata makbedas. That's not considered a makbed. That's not considered a makbed. Okay.
Because it's for a set amount of time.
Yes. Yes, it's for a set amount of time. Yeah. Now I'll read you. This is what I wanted to find, but I just want to read you so you don't get any wrong impressions. I just want to read you a little bit more. He says it's not so simple. He's like this. In the case of the filling, Rav Feinstein felt there was another reason to be lenient, and that was the fact that the temporary filling would be replaced with the permanent filling. Since that area of the body would always be covered, the woman could not be considered to be a makbet on it. Okay, Rav Feinstein's fundamental assertion is that makbet is not a function of the substance on the body, but the area of the body itself. Thus, since the woman doesn't object to her tooth being permanently covered, she's not considered makbed. But Pesach Svi, Pesach Frank, and others adopt this long reasoning as well. So he's saying is that Hakbada doesn't go by this particular piece of metal, that she's makbed or not. It's this part of her body. Does she want this part of her body to be covered or not? And he's saying is that she basically permanently wants that part of her body to be covered. The fact that now it's for 1 month, it's a temporary filling, and then it's going to become a permanent filling, Moshe's saying that's not considered makbed. She's happy to have that part of her body covered, and the particular substance is going to change, but who really cares? Right?
That's an interesting thing of chatzitza then, because he's not saying that the object is the chatzitza.
I know, it's a chiddush.
Whether the person wants that covered or not, if you're wearing paint on a blemish,
yeah,
he might think that's okay.
I know. It's a bit chiddush what he's saying.
Or earrings.
Or earrings. Yeah, but earrings, I don't know, the part of your body is you want it always covered. It's being a case where you have something which you always want covered. Right. Right. Let's say a woman has a blemish, some sort of a wound.
So she's wearing makeup. She wants to cover parts of her face because she doesn't like the way it looks. She always wears makeup.
You're right, but she always puts on a different piece of makeup. Every day she puts on a new, she has something on her lip. She puts on a thick lipstick every single day. But each day it comes off and on and off and on and off and on. But he's saying since that birthmark she wants always covered, so that's not considered makbed. That's not the way we think of it. We think of it as like, is this part of your body? So if this thing keeps changing, so then who cares that part of your body you want to be always covered? Why is that relevant?
Right.
That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. But let me read a little further. There are, however, some who rule differently than Rav Feinstein. As such, some temporary poskim are only willing to be lenient if the filling will be in for some time, thus satisfying all interpretations of Zichron Yosef. Because the Zichron Yosef says a long time. But Moshe is saying that a long time doesn't matter how long as it's a fixed amount of time. But some learn that it really means a long time. The exact amount of time is subject to a variety of opinions. Rav Shlomo Yashav and Rav Chaim Cohen require a month. If the filling were scheduled to come out the same day as the tefillah, one of Rav Feinstein's considerations in ruling leniently, namely his reading of the Zichron Yosef, would be irrelevant. Let's say, for example, you want that it's going to come out today. So now it's like the kneading again, because now you do want it to come out today. However, his understanding of Chatzitza relates to the area of the body covered, rather than the covering substance, would still be germane, and Rav Feinstein indicates that the latter would be sufficient grounds for leniency.
Wow.
So Rav Moshe is holding even that second svara alone, he'd be make all that. How long do temporary fillings stay in for gershes? Sometimes it could be a week. It's just until your next appointment, no?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a month or not. It doesn't really go that long.
Yeah, it can be.
Can be.
It could be a month. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay, so today there's some who require a month. There's Rav Yashav and Rav Chaim Cohen require a month. But
they're not talking about like Rav Moshe then, that they want the part of the body covered. They're talking about the object of the chatita.
Yeah, the long term, right. Yes, they're not holding by that svara, right? That's his own svara. So that's a chiddush svara that I was saying there about, you know? But let's focus on, I mean, maybe we could take that up also. That's interesting in its own right. I don't think I ever had a svara for that. But let's just first focus on the other part. On the part which he's saying is that when the Ravid says that if you ever want to take it off, then it's a chatzitza, so they're positing, Rav Moshe's positing, it doesn't mean ever, it doesn't even mean a long time, it just means that if as long as it's on you for a fixed amount of time, then that's considered that you're not marked it. Right?
Yeah.
But on the surface, it's not so good with our svara, I think we have to explain it, because we're saying is it's part of your body, and if you ever want to take it off, then you can't say it's part of your body. Right? So the question is, could that jive with Rav Moshe's idea that let's say a temporary filling is going to be on for 2 weeks, so you're not touching it for 2 weeks. So then, we on the claim shot is according to the Ravid says if at any point you want to take it off, then it's not part of your body, right? And our svara is that way. So the question is, could we give a svara to support Rav Moshe, which is that if it's any amount of time, then it's okay. As long as you're going to keep it on there for some known amount of time, that's okay.
I mean, you could say that, I mean, that because it's going to be a part of your body for a certain amount of time, it's like, it's almost like you naturally growing something new on your body. Right. For that X amount of time.
Right.
It's still a part of her body. I mean, why would you think not? Just because it's a certain amount of time, it's just for that time. It doesn't really matter. Who
right.
cares?
Right.
Right.
That's not
butthole
to the guff. It's like a halak of the guff.
Right.
Right. It's not like it's not there. It is there. And it's part of you.
It's part of you, right. But you mean certain things can be part of you forever. And certain things can be part of you for a short, for a month, for a week, 2 weeks, part of your body.
Now, what does it mean? It's part of your body, not makbid for that time?
Yeah, saying that time you're not makbid. It's basically for the 2 weeks you view it as part of your body. Let's say your hair. Growing out your hair for a month and then you get a haircut. So your hair is viewed as part of your body, and it's true in a month you're going to change it. But in the meantime, you view it as a chelik of your body. So it's saying is your temporary feeling you view as a chelik of your body. But 2 weeks, it's basically mean that it's a temporary chalak, it's not a permanent chalak. Some things are permanent chalak from your body, other things are temporary chalak from your body. But you can't say your ring, which at any given moment, you might have to knead the dough and take off your ring, then you don't say it's a chalak of my body up until in a few minutes or until whenever. Whereas as long as there's a given time that I might take it off, at any given moment I might take it off, then you're saying you don't view it as a chalak of my body. It isn't. Goes back and forth every time I need. As long as that's what Moshe is saying, is that he's interpreting that as long as there's a fixed amount of time that you basically view it, it's definitely going to be part of your body until time X, then you could say that's batel tirguf. Batel tirguf doesn't mean permanently, could even be temporary, but the Ravid's argument is if there are certain times in your normal functioning that you take it off and certain times you take it on, like kneading and showering, that kind of thing, then you don't say it's part of your guf. Then you just view it as something which you is separate from your guf. You want to wear it usually, but sometimes you don't want to wear it. And you oscillate between periods when you're wearing it and periods where you're not wearing it. But that's not chelak of your guf. But you don't say that by your permanent, by a temporary filling. It's like it's something which I sometimes wear and sometimes not wear. No, I always wear it until the time comes that I go back to the dentist and then he's going to change it. Fine. But that's not, that's like not part of my normal life. It's like if it's part of your life that it goes on and off, then it's saying is you view that as part of, then you view it as part of your body. But if part of your life is it doesn't go on and off, it stays, but there will come a time, then that's fine. That's still part of your guf. Okay? That seems to be what Moshe is arguing. But the others, I guess, interpret it there has to be a fixed amount of time. See, they I guess they don't like it. It sounds like what they don't like is, let's say you know you're going back to the dentist in a week. Sounds from Rav Moshe, that's fine. It's a week. Doesn't matter. There's no objective amount of time.
That's not going to be according to the Raivin, would it?
See, I don't know. That's the thing is, that the Rav Moshe is trying to argue it in the Raivin, or it's in the Zichron Moshe in the Raivin. But I don't know, the Raivin doesn't quite sound that way. The, I'll read you the Raivin again. He says, Im takbir alav shah achas davar hamakbir alav.
Right.
Yes, yeah, so that's shah achas, if the time is up. Right, let's see here. Don't say it means you're not makbir time with tefillah. Elam takbir alav shah achas davar hamakbir alav. Right, he said, v'ishi'i afshah shalotavir osa me'al rosha b'shah shachavavas arosha. She definitely wants to take these hair, you know, ponytail holders or whatever off when she combs her hair. Or the ring, she's definitely is going to take it off when she needs or bakes or cooks. I know, but you could say Ramosha the reviver just means he's citing ordinary activities. And he's saying as if in the course of her ordinary activities of her life, she's makbid, then you don't say it's part of her guf. Because it oscillates between her different the daily activities. So then she wears it up mostly, but doesn't wear it at other times. But it could be that Moshe is arguing, yeah, but if when her filling, she wears it always, whether she needs or showers or anything. It just happens to be there will come a time where the dentist is going to remove it. That's fine, but that's not saying that she like oscillates and sometimes it's on and sometimes it's off. It's always on. It just is not permanent. It's a temporary part of the guf.
I just have a question on the other shitos, not on Ramosha, but the other ones, to hold that it needs to, you need to have, well, like a specific amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why, how would it be any different than like a haircut? You know, you cut your hair, you know, sometimes in a week or 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. I mean, to me, it's like growing your hair is also temporary.
Yeah.
How is it any different than...
Well, they're agreeing with that also. They're just saying, I don't know. I mean, they're saying that if she plans on getting to the dentist in a week, then basically you're saying is you don't view it as part of her guf. That's just basically... Right. Because once it's there for an extended period of her life, a month, like kind of here a month, and you say that's basically part of her guf for this month. For Nisan, it's part of her guf. But if it's going to be in a week, then you just view the whole thing as just a temporary type of, you know?
What if I know I'm getting a haircut in a week?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I hear this. I hear Moshe's argument. It's a good point. It's within the Zichron Yosef. Zichron Yosef says Man Meruba. So I think they think, he interprets it, means Meruba means a long time. But Moshe is saying is Lav Dafka. You can't be careful about the Lashon's Man Meruba. They have to get to the concept. The concept is, it doesn't matter how long it is. It's a conceptual way that she relates to it. What about that other thing in Ramosha? Can we think of a svar for that? He's saying is that it doesn't go by the substance itself, whether it's permanent or not, whether it goes by the part of the body itself which you are covering. Are you makbid that part of your body is covered? Right? Who cares about it? Even if
it's going according to the subjective.
Subjective? You could say everybody has it, that temporary fillings are going to be covered forever. You know, that spot is going to be, once you have a cavity, you want it covered forever. Now, right now with temporary filling and then later with permanent filling. Still is like objective. It doesn't mean each person obviously someone doesn't have a cavity, but it could be it's universally the fact that temporary fillings are desirables for a person's tooth forever. But I mean, but why, if you look at the chatzitza, you say, is this chatzitza permanent or not? That I hear. I say, is it part of your body? Is it not? It's going to come off tomorrow, then it's not part of your body. Now, but if you say that, look, it's going to come off and immediately be replaced by a different one, so then the Ramosha is saying is, oh, so apparently you're not makbid about the about that part of your body being covered. Right? That part of your body you want covered because you see it's permanently covered. So what's the svara to say that it goes by the part of the body and not by the substance?
The maisa tefillah has to be on your body.
Right.
So it doesn't matter what you're covering it with, but now part of your body is not being involved in the maisa tefillah.
Uh-huh. But if there's a part of your body which you couldn't care less, you want it to be permanently covered, so you don't say...
Then you don't say you're not doing a tefillah now. The maisa tefillah is good. Every part of your body that you want is covered, is being involved in the tefillah.
I see. You mean your ring. Let's say your ring. So when you do tefillah, under your ring is not involved in the tefillah. And under your ring is a part of your body which you sometimes have exposed. So you mean there's a part of your body which you're excluding from the tefillah. But you
right.
mean, but your back of your tooth, your cavity... I mean, that's a part of your body which you basically view as a covered part of your body. So now the tefillah is related to your whole body. That's a covered part of my body. Now the covering is going to change, but who cares? Point is, once it's eno makbid, you say it's like that part. It's not that it's the substance is part of your guf. It's just like the tefillah doesn't have to relate to that part of your body. Because
right.
that part of your body is a covered part of your body. It's like the inside of your body. He's literally defining it when it's in a makbid, when it's in a makbid, basically you view that part of your body as like a covered part of your body, so it doesn't need to feel all together. It's not because the substance is batal or the substance is part of your body. It's just like it's like that part of your body becomes doesn't have to be included in the tefillah. So then as long it doesn't matter if you're gonna change the permanent temporary filling, who cares? The point is that part of your body is not included in the part that you have to wash. Okay, that's interesting, right? It's a chiddush. It's like a different way to look at the whole thing. Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll stop here. Let's see here. So the next thing is scabs. It's another issue he takes up. Scabs and then stitches and then fingernails. Those are the other three things he has in this book, which I thought are interesting. I just feel like we're doing these sugyas. It's nice to take up the practical issues and see how they come up, you know?
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah. All right. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay, stop this recording and see how to figure out how to upload this thing.